All right, good morning, friends. Great to see everyone. We've got a very warm hug up here in the front. We want to give that all the time we can for good reason. After each service last weekend, we held a financial update. We wanted to offer full disclosure thanks to each of you who paused and stayed with us in those three gatherings. On behalf of our board, we want to thank everyone for your involvement as we shared those updates. The questions and feedback that were offered were discussed at length in the board meeting this past Wednesday night. We'll continue to have ongoing discussion and dialogue based on your input, but we thank you for your continued support, your generosity as we seek to look, live, and love like Jesus. Let me say a prayer as we launch into the message from Psalm 118 this morning, a new season. But let's pray first. Father, help us now as we linger in your presence. Thank you that you are our help in times of trouble, our God of unfailing love. Your love never quits. Help us as we come to your word. Speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Psalm chapter 118. We'll start with the first two verses, and then we'll go down to verse 19 and continue. I invite you to open your Bibles with me, follow with me on the screen in a moment, or use the app on your phone. But before we come to the first two verses, I want to introduce Father Damien. He left Belgium as a priest in 1873. His assignment was to travel many hours, days, by sea to arrive in Hawaii to minister to the lepers. As soon as he arrived in Molokai, he began to try building friendships with the residents of the leper colony, but they, by and large, rejected him. He built a small chapel, started holding services. No one came. After 12 long years, service after service after service, very few coming, engaging with him, he finally quit in defeat, walked down to the pier, waited to board the ship that would take him back to Belgium. Have you ever had a moment in your story when something was happening that wasn't supposed to be part of the plan? It wasn't written into the plan that you had for life, the dreams. It wasn't what God promised. But it's in the midst of those moments that God shows up and says he wants to bring to us a new season. It's in the middle of the wanting and the waiting when God shows up and offers the promise, renews the promise of a new season. Psalm 118, verse 1. Give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let all Israel repeat, his faithful love endures forever. These first two verses are speaking of an attitude of gratitude. Gratitude, it comes from the Latin word meaning pleasing or thankful. It's a quality of the heart. It's a generous readiness to show appreciation. And why do these verses tell us that gratitude is so important for the people of God? Well, first of all, it gives honor back to God. It gives honor to God, and it encourages one another. And as it honors God and encourages one another, it strengthens us from within with this joyful, confident, trusting faith. And it tells us that we are to give thanks. But if you go to the original language, giving thanks, it has an image that goes with it that's included in the original language. It has the image of tossing. Tossing. Think of an ancient farmer walking through his field, a bag of seeds tied to his belt. And as he walks through the field, he'll pull a handful of seeds from his belt, and then he'll just toss them as he's walking through the field. Give thanks. Toss your thanks. Think of a 4th of July parade. The kids line the street as the fire truck is coming down the road, and the men and women on the fire truck are tossing candy to the delight of the children, tossing as the fire truck goes down the road. Think of a wedding. Just before the bride makes her way down the aisle, everybody in the wedding party waiting, the groom, the pastor, everybody's waiting, and just before the bride makes her entrance, it's the flower girl tossing those little flower petals everywhere the bride will step on her way to the altar. That's the image that we see here. Think of Jesus on Palm Sunday. It was the last time he would enter the city of Jerusalem. His entrance became very special, remembered by the church. It renamed the Sunday before Easter as Palm Sunday. Kings rode horses. Servants rode donkeys. Jesus chose a donkey. He chose the foal, the colt of a donkey, perhaps not full grown yet. Maybe his legs were dangling off the side, but he's riding in on this donkey, his last entrance into Jerusalem. But people were treating him like a king. They're shouting Hosanna, and they're taking palm branches and laying them on the street, some taking their coats, laying it on the street so that the feet of the donkey would never touch the earth and ground. We are to give thanks wherever we go with the same joyful generosity, tossing our thanks as we go through the day, leaving a trail of gratitude wherever our steps may take us. And as I thought about that, tossing gratitude through the day, it can change the dynamics and the most difficult and frustrating parts of our lives and our world. It can change the dynamics in our homes, in our office, with our friends, with the world around us, a trail of gratitude. What if we became known even more as a people of gratitude? It's a way of life. It's a daily practice. I told a friend I would brag on them for just a moment this morning. Every Tuesday, we have a men's Bible study. At the end of the Bible study, there was a knock on my door. One of the men walked in and handed me an envelope. I said, "What's this?" And it was an offering. They had taken an offering that morning, $60, and handed it to me for the pastors to use to share with someone in need. That's tossing our gratitude, leaving a trail of gratitude wherever we go. I love how this church lives that out. So what are we to be grateful for? Let's go back to the verses. The verses point us to being grateful because God is good. There is a time when I used to say, "God is good," all the time, "God is good," but I used to say it in this trite fashion until I became convicted. It's true that God is good. When you get the raise, you get the promotion, you're full of health, your family and friends are overflowing with blessing, but it is also true that God is good. When we lose our employment, when someone else gets the promotion, when the doctor's prognosis is not good at all, and even when it seems we're stuck between a rock and a hard place, God is still good, and we are told to give thanks, leave a trail of gratitude. What are we to be grateful for? What are we to be grateful for? It says we're to be grateful because his faithful love endures forever. Forever is a long time. This perpetual, continuous existence, this indefinite and unending future. In the original languages, faithful love is often translated as mercy, an environment where forgiveness is freely given and freely received, just as God in Jesus has done for us. God's love, it's the most powerful force our world has ever known. Nothing can separate us from his love. There's nothing we can do to cause God to love us more, nothing we can do to cause him to love us any less. But then it's repeated. God knew there would be people like Roger that would need to hear some things twice. So he repeats the verse. He says, "Say it again. His faithful love endures forever." And what are we to be grateful for? It goes on to say, because God's love never quits. It's not disposable. It doesn't have a shelf life. It's not one and done. It doesn't walk away when rejected. It doesn't bail out in the face of failure. God's love never quits. And so I ask, what are the things in our lives that never quit? It's not our technology. Have you ever had to replace one of these? They're becoming a tad bit expensive. There are so many things in our life that wear out, that have a shelf life. It's not our technology. It's not our youthfulness. But it's God's love that never quits. God will never stop loving you. God's love for you will never run out. And my friends, it wasn't the nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was his unending love. It was his never-failing love for you and me that held him to that cross. What feeling of gratitude does that inspire in our hearts? What could we do this week to express that gratitude, to leave a trail of gratitude as we toss our thanks as we walk through the day? And what if we allowed that spirit of gratitude to be the medicine that God would use in the broken places of our hearts? What if we were to allow that trail of gratitude to be the medicine that God would use through us for the people around us? Verses 19 and 20 begin to talk to us about picking the right door. There's an illustration I'd like to use. A young man played his last NBA basketball game last week, Dirk Nowitzki. He'll be remembered as one of the greatest players in NBA history. Let me quickly recount his story. A league champion, finals MVP, league MVP, 14-time All-Star, the sixth leading scorer of all time. Nowitzki just retired after 21 seasons with the same team. Something unheard of today. The last team he played in his last NBA game at halftime showed a video tribute because they had such respect for this player. A rival coach at the Staples Center playing the LA Clippers, Doc Rivers, called a timeout late in the game, walked to the scoreboard, the scorer's table, took a microphone and invited everybody in the Staples Center to stand and cheer the opposing player because they had such respect for him. The adulation he's received in Dallas, where he played in lacrosse basketball, is so much more about who he is than what he's done on the court. He made a lot of money, but he took pay cuts so his team could sign other players. And he cared about the locker room attendance, not only in his own stadium in Dallas, but wherever he traveled across the league, he would take time to say thanks to the locker room attendants. He made so many unpublicized hospital trips in Dallas. He came into the hospital so often to visit the children in their community that when he would walk in, the children would say, "Here comes Uncle Dirk." The Washington Post celebrated his loyalty to his team and city, praised him for his humility at a retirement ceremony in his hometown. Charles Barkley called him the nicest man ever. This man of faith, Dirk Nowitzki, it was his humility, his service off the court, even more than his athletic prowess, that endeared him to sports fans across the country. He didn't squander his wealth and fame just to benefit himself. He demonstrated this genuine concern for the people around him. And he reminds us that who we are is so much more important than what we do. And who we become depends on the choices we make in life. Verse 19, choices. The psalmist said, does he speak for our hearts this morning? The psalmist said, open for me the gates where the righteous enter in. I'll go in and thank the Lord. These gates lead to the presence of the Lord, and the godly enter there. I remember as a young man knocking on all the wrong doors. Was I hiding from God, running from God? Was it because I didn't yet understand and know his unfailing love? Was it because I still preferred darkness over the light of his love? Picking the right door is essential. And when we knock on the door where Jesus is, there is no game show trickery. There is no bait and switch. Picking the right door is essential because the Word tells us there is no other door. Jesus is the only way to the Father, the only way to the life we've always wanted. And so we ask that the doors might be open. But notice we don't have to beg, we don't have to bribe, we cannot earn it. We just knock and ask, and the gates, the place of entrance, will be open. Jesus, John 10, said, "I am the gate." The prayer of the psalmist was fully answered when Jesus came to earth. And as Jesus went to the cross as the once and for all sacrifice for our sins, and inside that gate, inside that door, we find safety and rest and acceptance and community. And it's the door where the righteous enter. Righteous, this word meaning those who are right with God. Right with God, not earned, but received by faith, an undeserved gift from a God of unfailing love. And the writer speaks for our hearts. He says, I'm here knocking because I want all in, Jesus. I want in, and I'm going to stay and keep knocking until you let me in, and I'm going to come in and give you my own thanks. So nobody has to speak for me. I want to share my heart before you, God. We give thanks as we enter for the love that's so undeserved, these gates that lead us into God's presence. Only those who long to look, live, and love like Jesus are able to enter. And it's one of the things I love about our church as we gather to worship, that we are a people that can be described by gratitude in so many ways. But remember, friends, God's love never quits. So we're invited to give thanks and leave a trail of gratitude. But we must pick the right door, and Jesus is that door. We come to verse 21 about giving God a blessing. There's a woman I've come to admire. She's a woman of faith. She writes a number of books. She travels the country speaking. She has a blog that I follow online. She is an admired and respected woman of faith. And in the last couple of years, with a broken heart and many tears, this woman of faith who traveled the country, wrote books on faith, shared that her marriage was broken. She came home and found out that her husband was having an affair. And then when they're in the midst of the counseling, and their marriage has been restored, but when they were in the midst of fighting for all they were worth to restore their marriage, she came down with cancer. Here's what she wrote during those days. Sometimes we give God a blessing through tears of gratitude. To live is to love. To love is to risk pain. But to risk pain is to live. It's what it means to truly be human, as fragile as dust. The breaking of us is the making of us, the building up of our faith. Tears are the truest connections we have with one another. And trust is the truest connection we have with God. Sometimes the best we can offer is to bless God with tears of joy. Verse 21, the psalmist speaks for our hearts. He says, I thank you for answering my prayer and giving me victory. The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone, and this is the Lord's doing. It's wonderful to see. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Please, Lord, please save us. Please, Lord, please give us success. Bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God shining upon us. Take the sacrifice. Bind it with cords on the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Sometimes I have been confused at different moments in my life, wondering which way the blessings flow. When it warms up just a little bit more, I love to run along the canal bank. I don't mind going out and back. There's just something peaceful about being on the canal bank. And sometimes as I'm running with the heat of the afternoon, the beautiful sunshine, and I'm watching the current of the canal, sometimes I have a hard time telling which way the current is flowing. Sometimes it's like that with blessing. Very quickly, a few years ago, Ellen and I were able to, by God's help and with some wonderful friends, start a church on the east side. They have a wonderful pastor now by the name of Jeremy Kelly. But as we started that church, we needed a job. And so UPS was kind enough to allow me to wear the brown, and they gave me a job. And I walked in thinking God was going to use me to be a blessing to UPS. Only to quickly be humbled and find out those Teamsters were being used by God to bless me. Which way are the blessings flowing? So many times we walk in thinking God's going to use us to bless somebody, only to find out that the people we go to serve are in turn blessing us. God bless America. Or may our nation bless God. God bless this church. Or may our church bless God. God bless my family. Or may our families bless God. Verse 21, how can we give God a blessing? It says we can give him a blessing with our thanks. Our thanks for answered prayer, for everyday life, for the miracles that only God can provide. Verse 22, how can we give God a blessing? By allowing Jesus to be the foundation that our lives are built on. The cornerstone, it's the first stone set in the construction of a foundation. Every other stone is set in reference to that stone. It determines the position of the entire structure. It determines the integrity of the whole structure. Building our lives on Jesus is the greatest cornerstone of all. How can we give God a blessing? Verse 23, by acknowledging he's at work in our lives, even while we're waiting. How can we give God a blessing? Verse 24, celebrating every day as a gift from God. How can we give God a blessing? Verse 25, look to God alone for the full and free life that we long for. Verse 26, how can we give God a blessing? We bless God as we bless his people. Verse 27, how can we give God a blessing? By making our lives a living sacrifice. May I go back to Father Damien? In defeat, feeling rejected, utterly humiliated, he stood on the pier waiting for the gate to come down so he could board the ship to return to Belgium. And as he was there waiting on the pier, he looked down at his hands and he began to see the very first appearance of these unmistakable white spots on his skin. He instantly knew what that was. He had contracted the disease of leprosy. Instead of boarding the ship and returning to Belgium, he turned and ran back to the leper colony. Word quickly spread. Not only was he back, but he now shared their fateful disease. Hundreds now rushed to his hut. The next Sunday, chapel was filled to overflowing. And then he began this long and fruitful ministry there with them. And what made the difference? They now knew that he understood their pain. They now knew that he cared about them in a completely different way, that he could identify with them, that he was one of them, which isn't that exactly why God sent Jesus to die on a cross? Do those we long to reach for Jesus know that we too are sinners saved by grace? Do those that we long to reach for Jesus know that we are as desperate as they are for his unfailing love? Do they know that we love them because he first loved us? This Holy Week, we are invited to remember that God's love never quits. And because his love never quits, we're invited to leave a trail, tossing gratitude wherever we go. This Holy Week, we're reminded to pick the right door. Jesus is that door. And this Holy Week, we are invited to give God a blessing. Find someone in need. Show them God's love. Watch what he does. Let me pray. Father, help us as we conclude this hour. Speak into our hearts as we launch into this very holy and sacred week. As we remember the depth of your love and your sacrifice for us, may it inspire us anew to toss our thanks, to leave a trail of gratitude wherever we go. Speak into our hearts. Use us this week to be a blessing to you and to those you'll send us to. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.